We're going to try to get through 2 John today, and as we come to the end of that little chapter, that little letter, we're going to recap three things that we talked about last week, just reminding us of where we are here as we head into the close of that letter. First of all, the old command was what? It was to love. And he said the old command of love was made new in Jesus Christ. An old command from the very beginning we talked about last week. And it's made new in Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Now remember that Jesus Christ set the example for how our love was to be made perfect. He's the only way that it can be made perfect. And then the Holy Spirit dwells within us, giving us the ability to love like Christ. Have you ever noticed that whenever we're not loving as we should, we're certainly not loving through the Holy Spirit? So we see that in Christ Jesus, it's made perfect. And then John told us, he says that love and obedience are inseparably linked. If you love the Lord, what are we going to do? Obey his commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You remember he said, why say unto me, Lord, Lord, and what? Don't do the things that I tell you. So those who love God will walk in obedience to biblical truth. The third thing that we're going to recall is that biblical love does not imply that we will be naive. Amen? Biblical love doesn't just say, oh, I just accept everything and everybody. That, folks, is just not the way it needs to be. Under undeserving acceptance of just anyone who claims to be a servant of Jesus Christ is not wise. Everyone who says that they are of God are not. And true believers cannot be a part of those who pervert the gospel. Amen? So we must avoid deceivers. And that's where John is heading into today. We avoid deceivers who wander from the truth, who corrupt the truth, and lead others away from the truth. So John countered all of the false attacks about Jesus Christ with one thing. Do you remember what it was? The truth. Every time somebody said something about Jesus Christ, he said, I will share the truth. And he told the truth. And we're reminded that we're to know the truth and we're to share the truth. Why? Why do we need to know the truth and share the truth? Because the truth will what? It truly sets us free. So knowing the seriousness of the threat of false teachers, John warns them. So we look at verse 7 and 8, and we're going to go back and recap verse 7 and move to 8. He said, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Do you notice that John doesn't pull any punches there? He doesn't say that this individual might be mistaken. What does he say? He says, this is the antichrist. They know what they're doing. They know what they're saying. And he says, so watch yourself. Verse 8, watch yourself that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. But an unusual statement there. He said, watch and be careful of those deceivers that you don't lose a full reward. John was saying this, that what is at stake is absolutely vital. The church has got to be vigilant. The church has got to be discerning. And to a degree, dear friends, the church has even got to be a little suspicious. Why? Because he didn't want them to lose what they had accomplished. What had they accomplished? John had been there teaching for years upon years, and he had taught them the truth. And he said, don't let these teachers come in that are false apostles, that are literally antichrist, and undo what you've already learned. He said, don't accept the truth without verifying the truth. What's the old adage? He says, trust, but what? Verify. Trust, but what? Verify. Folks, that is exactly what we need to do. Do you know where we go to verify? Absolutely, to the Word of God. Let's go to the Bible to verify. He wanted them not to be deceived, so that they could see the full fruit of their effort. Look what he said. He said, watch yourselves that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Now, what does that mean? I don't want you to lose what you've accomplished. Obviously, he didn't want them to be regressing from the truth, but he also said, I don't want you to lose your full reward. What does that mean? Well, Paul expressed something similar with the Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 through 4, he said this. He said, I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband. Who's that one husband? Jesus Christ, the bridegroom. That I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. In other words, keep yourself pure in the word to be presented to Jesus. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. He said, listen, do not even listen to a false gospel. He said, it might affect you. The church has got to be vigilant not to receive false teaching. Both John and Paul were concerned for their flock, and they didn't want them to lose ground spiritually. It was this very concern that led Paul to rebuke the Galatians for dabbling in false doctrines. They started getting off and saying, well, let's just look into these things. Listen, folks, it's like taking the poison to your lips but not swallowing, right? Maybe someday some of it's going to slip through if you're not careful. In Galatians chapter 3, Paul said it this way. He said, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing of faith? He says, did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing by faith? Folks, we know it was by faith. Amen. He said, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? That's what Paul was saying. He was saying, listen, somebody's coming in and telling you that by the works of the flesh, you're going to be made whole. By works of the flesh, you're going to increase your salvation. He's saying, listen, did you get saved by works or did you get saved by the Holy Spirit through faith? Which one was it? By faith. He said, quit listening to this teaching. Quit listening to people who are going to take you off of the true gospel. We've been blessed, dear friends. We have been deeply blessed with a legacy in Christ, in the Word of God, that must be preserved. Amen? We have a legacy of having the Bible. God has protected it from the beginning, and men of God have taught it. They have preached it. They have defended the true gospel at great cost of time, of effort, of persecution, and even death. They stood for the Word of God and would not stand for it to be altered. Those who hold to God's truth have a God's given treasure. Amen? It's the most wonderful treasure you could have, God's truth. But those who have been influenced by false teachers, he was saying, have slipped backwards. And they not only undermine the teaching of faithful preachers, the consequence of their spiritual regression will cost them the loss of a full reward. In other words, when you get to heaven, some of the rewards that you are going to receive are going to be removed from you because you got off into a false gospel. Now, you do recall that the Bible tells us that believers will be rewarded in heaven for their service, right? You do remember that? Listen, the Bible says that you will be rewarded for what you do here on this earth. Now, your services don't get you into heaven. Amen? What gets you into heaven? your faith in Christ Jesus. But he's saying that those who are saved are going to want to the very core of their being to serve God. And when we serve God because we love him, it is counted to us as a service to God, and you're going to receive a reward. He says that you're going to be rewarded tenfold, 100-fold. Listen, I don't know how it's all going to work, but I do know this. God says we're going to be rewarded for the good things we do for him here. Folks, I believe it. That's something you can take to the bank. But Scripture here says that while your salvation cannot be lost, unfaithful but true believers can forfeit some of their reward because of their unfaithfulness to the Word of God. Don't get off into untrue doctrine. Folks, we need to be very, very careful. Paul had the same type of concern, and he warned the Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18 and 19, he said, "Don't let anyone cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head." Who's the head? Christ Jesus. "From whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God." He's saying what you need to do is concentrate on Jesus Christ and the truth about Christ, which you're going to find here, and not somebody's made up doctrine. Amen? Paul had the concern. John had the concern. Because people were saying, "Oh, you need to listen to this new truth." How many times have you heard that? Now listen, there are some things that are okay to be new. I love cereal. And Lucky Charms came out with new marshmallows. And it's new and improved. And about every year they add some more marshmallows in there. That's the only reason I keep going back to the new and improved Lucky Charms. And that's okay. If your cereal's getting better, so be it. But I'm going to tell you, you cannot, you will not, and you can never improve on the perfection of God's Word. Don't be trying to find something new and improved. It's not going to be right. Believers will be rewarded in heaven for their service, and they will be rewarded for their dedication to the truth of God. And no matter how loudly a false teacher's clamor about what they know and what you don't know, you need to understand that they will say, "Oh, be tolerant of my teaching. Just listen to my teaching. Oh, hear me out." Listen, no matter how loudly false teachers clamor for tolerance, dear friend, believers must be discerning of God's truth and reject those things that are not of God's Word. Why? Because there's going to be consequences. And those consequences begin on earth with people who do not hear the truth and are told a false gospel, and they begin to think, "Oh, I can win my salvation by just doing some more works. Maybe if I join another committee at the church, maybe I'll make my way into heaven." Folks, don't listen to doctrines that are not of God. And not only will it make a difference right here on this earth, but it's going to make a difference in eternity. Because if we start teaching people that they can be saved by any other method than faith in Jesus Christ, then folks, they are doomed to a sinner's hell, because they will think then that they can do it on their own. So no matter how loudly false teachers yell about, be tolerant, we cannot. We cannot. They are not tolerant of the truth. We cannot be tolerant of a lie. Now, we see here in verse 9 another test of a true Christian. We realize that through the letter of 1 John that he gave several tests for being a Christian. And verse 9, if you look at it, it kind of jumps out at you, folks. I'm going to tell you, as you look at it, you got to be thinking, "Wow, exactly what is this saying?" Listen to verse 9. He says, "Anyone who goes too far and does not remain in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who remains in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. So, what is John saying here? He's saying that if you're loyal to Christ Jesus and you're loyal to His Word, if you're loyal to the Scripture, you will naturally seek to protect its integrity. You won't allow it to be changed. You're going to want to know the truth, first of all. You're going to want to protect the truth, and you're going to want to share the truth. Why? Because it's only the truth that will what? Set you free. We know this. There will always be those who want to change the Word of God. They want to weaken it. But no matter what they claim, the Scripture tells us that anyone who goes too far and does not stay in the teaching of Jesus Christ cannot be saved. They are not saved. Now, you might be thinking for just a moment, well, Pastor, wait a minute. I'm just wondering, can a Christian make a mistake? I mean, if a Christian makes a mistake, does that mean that they're no longer saved? No, you cannot lose your salvation. But what he is saying is, yes, a true believer might wander a bit from the truth because they listen to someone who's telling a lie, and they go, oh, that sounds good. That makes my sin not so bad. That's usually the case with a new teaching, is it makes your sin more tolerable, only to you, not to God. But we wonder, is it okay can a Christian make a mistake? Of course a Christian can make a mistake. But he's saying this, if you are a true believer, the Holy Spirit will call you back from your error. Are you with me? Listen, folks, listen. Anybody can make a mistake. Anybody can get off. But what he's saying is, if you truly belong to God, because you are saved, the Holy Spirit abides in you. Remember, we talked about this. The Holy Spirit lives in you. The Holy Spirit speaks to you. The Holy Spirit leads you because you are saved. And because of that, you're going to want to seek the truth, and you will seek the truth. But if you're off a little bit, and you begin to seek something that's not of God, the Holy Spirit of God will stir your heart. He will make your peace be gone. He will remove His Holy Spirit's peace from you, and He will disturb your heart, and you'll know headed in the wrong direction. But if you're able to continue in a perverted path and you refuse to listen to the Holy Spirit within you, then guess what? You are not His because you won't listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen, remember as a child, we had a neighborhood full of children. It was a great place to grow up, full of kids everywhere. And a dad would come out and holler. And we had on my street, now this will get you, we had not one, not two, not three, but four Garys. Frightening, yeah. Three lived on my street, one lived on the street behind. And a dad would come out and say, Gary, come home. I guarantee you, I didn't listen to that voice. Do you know why? It wasn't my father. But my dad, I'm going to tell you, his voice distinct and his whistle sure. Gary! Perked up, headed that way because I knew what would happen if I didn't. Amen? When the Father, your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God is residing in you. When your Father calls your heart and says, you need to come back. Friends, if you do not respond to the call, there is only two reasons. One, you are running from God in disobedience. Or two, you don't know Him and the voice that's calling you is not your Heavenly Father. And you need to make Him so. Does this make sense? the Holy Spirit will bring you back. Now that word there, he says in verse 9, let's go again. He said, watch yourselves that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Anyone who goes too far and does not remain in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Now, that little phrase, goes too far, in the Greek, and I don't know that I'm pronouncing it right, but it's proego, and it literally means the one to go too far. It means to go beyond established bounds with an implication of failure to obey. Doesn't that sound like the little boy who won't listen to the daddy when he's calling him home? You've gone beyond the bounds. You've gone outside of the place where you should be, and I'm calling you back. That's literally what that little phrase means. What are the established bounds, dear people? How do we know if we're getting out of bounds from where we should be? The Word of God gives you all the instruction you need. And if it's not in the Word of God, if it is not confirmed by the Word of God, dear friends, you're out of bounds. And the Holy Spirit will call you back. If you will search God's Word, truth will be revealed through His Holy Spirit. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself, and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written. Stop. Not to think what beyond what is written. What is written? The Word of God. That none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. You know what he's saying here? He's saying, don't think you know more than God. Don't think you know more than the Bible. Stay with what is written. Hold to what is written. In verse 9, he says you need to remain in that. Some of your Bibles will say abide in that. That means you live there. Listen, I know sometimes my wife and I wonder if we actually abide in the house that we bought that's back towards Montgomery. Because I think we're here a whole lot more hours than we are there. So I'm wondering what our abode really is. But here's the thing. Where do you stay? Do you stay in the Word of God? Do you stay in the promises of God? Do you hold to His truth? And He's saying here, abide in it. Remain in it. Live there. Live in the truth of God. Abide means to continue to stay in God's Word. And false teachers are not content to remain within the confines of Scripture. They want to wander. They invariably add erroneous interpretations, revelations, and visions as though they were from the Lord. They say, oh, I have a new vision of God. How many times have we heard this? And the Scripture says, even though you would hear it from an angel, if it's not the Word, don't listen to it. It's an antichrist. How many times have we seen people who write a new Bible because they got a new revelation from God, a different revelation from God? They claim to have an advanced knowledge. A new wisdom. Listen, there's always somebody out there who wants to feel special and wants to feel more important over you. And so they will tell you, listen, you're just lucky you have me to interpret this for you because I have a new revelation and this is going to rock your world. And yes, it will, in the wrong way. You need to be very, very careful that you are adhering, that you are abiding, that you are remaining in the truth of God. Any teaching that is inconsistent with all of Scripture is to be rejected. Scripture will interpret itself. You remember what we said about Scripture? You just turn it loose. It will defend itself. Now, you keep it correct, and you make sure that it's guarded in the truth. And as long as you've got a healthy Scripture, it will defend itself. Like Adrian Rogers said about the lion, just turn it loose. It'll defend itself. So John plainly states that those who alter and add to the Bible are in trouble. Listen to Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. Right there at the end of the Bible, right there at the close of God's Word, it says, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him to the plagues that are written in this book." Does that sound happy? "And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." It says that he's going to be like a plague from this book, and that his eternal life is going to be removed. Listen, folks, I don't know about you, but that certainly makes me think before I start trying to interpret this word. Amen? Use the word to interpret the word. Let the Holy Spirit lead and guide you. And if you should be drifting away, his Holy Spirit will pull you back. The problem begins when we fail to listen to the Holy Spirit. Because you know when you're wrong. Guys, it's like when you're fussing with your wife and the Holy Spirit says, "Why don't you just shut up and go hug her and take care of it?" And you stand there very, very, you're refusing to do what the Holy Spirit tells you. And wives, when the Holy Spirit tells you, "Why don't you just stop and tell him you're sorry and move on and y'all get over this?" But when the Holy Spirit says move, you know what you need to do? Move. Why don't you just start jumping and then ask how high? Amen. "Lord, where do I need to go? What do I need to do?" Follow the Holy Spirit's leadership. And when the Holy Spirit calls you back away from error, don't resist it. Seek the heart of God and let him teach you. Say, "Lord, if I'm off, show me where I'm off." Get in the scripture. Get with someone who knows the word. Find out what the real interpretation is. And if somebody's bringing you something new that you've never heard before, you need to get it checked out. The Bible plainly says those who alter, add to, or deny what the Bible says about Jesus Christ do not have God. As believers, we are responsible to guard that truth and make sure the truth is held. John sets out a very practical application here. So let's just read from verse 10 and 11 what he said. He said in verse 10, and 11. He said, "If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house, and do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds." It's a very practical advice here. He says, if anyone is straying from biblical truth, don't let them in your house. Now, hospitality for traveling teachers was common in that culture. And it was even more common in this last century, in the 1990s and 80s and 70s and 60s and even more so. Guest preachers would come in and we'd put them up at the hotel or put them up in someone's house, and they would come and they would teach and preach in the churches. Now we've got it on internet, so we don't really have to put them up anywhere. They're right there in our homes already. But hospitality was very common in that culture. So he said, if they are not teaching and preaching the Word of God, turn them away. Now, this doesn't mean unbelievers, people. This doesn't mean people who are seeking the truth. It doesn't mean that you can't be friends with your neighbors. It doesn't mean that you can't be friends with someone who's ignorant and trying to learn, but they've got it wrong. You know, if they get it wrong and you go, "Oh, you can't get into my house." No, listen, if they're trying, bring them in and teach them if they have ears to hear. Are you with me? This means yes. Are you with me? God's Word says that we should do that. That's what teaching and discipleship is about. If we didn't do that, that would make teaching the truth to them really difficult. Now, he's not saying that somebody who's trying to learn but is off. His point is, do not welcome, do not provide care for false teachers, those who are trying to pervert the word of God. Because if you did, this would give the appearance that you are affirming their teaching, right? Well, they stayed at Brother Gary's house. They must be okay. Now you're saying, you know, I'm glad I've never done that. I'm glad I've never had anybody in my home. Nobody has ever come to my home that was a false teacher. Really? I'm going to say that's probably not true. I'm sure that's not true. I bet they have. Because they come into our homes a whole lot more ways than in a pair of shoes and a suit. Amen? Folks, they come in by books. They come in by CDs. They come in by DVDs. They come on our televisions. Folks, we're not to allow a false teacher in our homes, either by the door, by the radio, or by internet. Amen? We cannot afford to have that kind of teaching in our homes. Not too long ago, we had a great video service, I thought, for many years. We had a video service that was available to all of our church, and all you had to do was go to this site, and you could plug into it and put our code word in, and you could watch all these, literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of CDs, but they began to put woke things on there. They began to put CRT things on there. They began to put false doctrines in there, and it was by names that you go, oh, well, I've heard of that name, and we just flat had to say, just take it off totally because it is infiltrated with lies. And that's why we don't have that service anymore, folks. Because there were some in there, and a little bit of leaven, the scripture says, what? Leavens the whole loaf. And so a little bit of poison goes a long way. And you say, well, is it okay? I mean, you know, maybe we're missing a lot of truth for a little poison. Let me ask you, how many of you really enjoy a good omelet? I mean, it's a hand-raised testimony. I love this. A good omelet. There you go. Your pastor loves a minimum of a 3-egg omelet. You crack an egg in the bowl. You crack another egg in the bowl. You get that third egg, and you crack that egg, and just as you're letting it loose, you smell sulfur. You ever gotten a bad egg? Not many, but I mean, you know, used to you get a lot of bad eggs. But you get one bad egg, you got 3 eggs in there, and you crack that last one, and some of it slips off in there, and you're, oh no, what are you going to do? And you think, well, I'm going to scoop a little, and not much got in there. You going to serve that? You going to eat that? Listen, in the same manner, you don't want any erroneous perversion in your truth. Amen? You won't eat an omelet that way. Why would you put something in your very soul that's that way? Be very, very careful with the truth. As believers, we are to guard the truth. These emissaries of Satan are so much of a threat that John said, don't even give them a greeting. He didn't just say, don't let them in your house. He said what? Don't even greet them. Now that word greet is kind of a special word. It's the word clarion. Clarion. You've heard of a clarion call. It means a bell. Bing. Well, if it rings with the truth, it's okay. But if it's ringing with a lie, you don't want to ring that bell. He's saying that word clarion means rejoiced in a ringing. In other words, as they're coming down the street and you see them, it's like us when you see me in Kroger. I love it. Brother Gary! Hey, I hug you right there in the store. If you need a prayer, I'll pray over you in the store. If I hear you singing an aisle over, I'll join you in harmony. I've done it. That clarion call, that joy that comes, he's saying, don't even greet. That's what he's saying. He's saying, do not greet people that way. Don't throw your arms open and be joyful at their coming because they're sharing poison. Don't do it. Don't even give them a greeting. Emissaries of Satan should be exposed, not affirmed, not welcomed. And false teachers will absolutely call this kind of treatment harsh and unloving, and they'll call us, what's the word again? Intolerant. We are intolerant. It's the big word, you know, and that's the biggest sin in culture today is intolerance. Oh, you need to tolerate our sin. You need to tolerate our lies. Absolutely not. Because true love forbids allowing dangerous spiritual deception to find a foothold in our church and in our families. And once again, somebody might say, well, what's the harm in hearing them out? Again, a little poison? Shall we let them in for just a moment? Jesus called them a special name. He said that those who were like this, who are bringing in the poison, Jesus himself called them thieves and robbers whose only purpose was to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So shall we let them in for just a moment? Let's let the ravenous room into the room with our babies for just a little bit. It won't be too bad. Right? Listen. The Lord Jesus said, you don't let a ravenous wolf into the sheepfold with the sheep. Don't leave them in there at all. We must not allow them in. And giving them a greeting, don't let them in the door, and don't even give them a greeting, because giving them a greeting is aiding and abetting their satanic cause. Now look at the closing. We close out in 2 John. He said in verse 12, he said, though I have many things to write to you, I do not want to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face so that your joy may be made complete. And then he closes with, the children of your chosen sister greet you. Now we've learned a lot about truth in this little letter. We've learned that we are to live in it, right? We're to abide in truth. That's what abide means, to remain in it. We are to live consistently in the truth. We are to be loyal to the truth. We're to guard it and keep it pure. And then right here in this little closing statement, John gives one last responsibility that we have. We are to be consistently learning it. Now listen, I'm going to tell you, if you are not in the Word because you already know it all, God help you. If you think you already know it all, you're in trouble. We are always progressing in the Lord. Now listen, there are some people who know a lot, and I am thankful for that. But what I want to know is, are you still growing and still hearing the Holy Spirit's call to your heart? We have the responsibility to be consistently learning the Word. And there were still many things that this lady needed to learn. John even said that he wanted to meet with her face to face. And I love that phrase. If you go back and look at that phrase in the Greek, what it literally said was not face to face, but it said mouth to mouth. That's faith to face, isn't it? That's to agree. But mouth to mouth. And literally, it's the equivalent of our expression today to say, we met eye to eye. Are you with me? Face to face, mouth to mouth, eye to eye. In other words, right there together. He wanted to teach and he wanted to share with her the things of the truth. And then John said that the result of her learning from being with him would be what? That her joy would be made what? Full. Absolutely full. Jesus made the exact same connection. Jesus said the same thing. He said that knowing and obeying his truth would bring joy to his children. He said that your joy may be full as well. How do we say this? In an age of relativism, in an age of liberalism, in an age where they say there is no absolute truth, we, the church, must absolutely stay firmly anchored to a solid foundation of truth. His Word. God's Word. There's no virtue in ignorance, people. None at all. No substitute for learning. No substitute for loving, no substitute for guarding the truth. It literally is only by holding to our Lord's full divine truth that we can fulfill our divine call to be a shining light of truth in a very dark world. You want to be a light? Know the truth. You want to be a light? Share the truth. You want to be an emissary of God? Share the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Some things of our government were established well, and they're trying to even lose that. Dear friends, hold to the truth and nothing but the truth of God. Would you pray with me? Father, we are thankful for your truth. We are thankful for your word. God, would you help us to know it so well that when a counterfeit is offered, we are alerted. We are so thankful for your Holy Spirit that alerts our hearts, even on things that maybe we've never heard before, God. Your Holy Spirit reveals to us your truth. And we're thankful. God, would you help us to heed your word, to heed your Holy Spirit, to listen when you speak to our hearts. And Lord, help us to teach one another, to sharpen each other as iron sharpens iron with the absolute truth of your word. What a blessing to have it, Father. Now, Lord, let us not take it for granted and leave it on the shelf, but Lord, help us to abide in it every day. And if you would make that your prayer, would you say amen?